Well, you know, if your show is called Bubble Mania, then you must be the bubble maniac.
It's one of the jokes I use in the show. I do have a passion for bubbling, and I like to think that a number of people in my audience do as well, and we have that connection to start with. And there's a certain energy level to my show that makes it at times very maniacal, but not to the point of crazy. And I love that. I use big band jazz music to add a lot of energy to the show. And then, of course, I bring it down a bit and do some more subtle stuff and artistic things. And cool. There's always a little change of pace throughout the show. But the maniac part does come out. I let the beast out periodically.
Well, you know, I mean, it's well known that we're all captivated by bubbles when we're kids. Where did your special relationship with bubbles begin?
I was in the Ringling Brothers Circus, of all places. I found myself, you know, one of many people running around on the big arena floor down there, and I decided I wanted to do something different that would stand out. And I was told by senior members of the clown squad there, the Clown Alley, that nothing was new. Everything's been done. Just pick something and do it well. I took that to heart and kept my eyes and ears and mind open to possibilities and realized that soap bubbles could be created. It was a new concept in the mid-'80s. Soap bubbles created, you know, bigger than basketball size and larger. Had such a wow effect to me when I saw it done in an informal setting at a flea market that I thought I could combine that with music and slapstick and comedy and build a nice entertainment vehicle as a performer in the circus. And it went over. The owner of the circus gave me the green light, and it went over really well. And I realized not only did people love it because it was unique and fun and playful, but it was something I was drawn to because of the spontaneity of the soap bubbles. It's like having a partner on stage that has a great personality, and you can play off of that.
You hold the BFA from Clown College, I read, which is the Bachelor of Fun Arts.
It's actually an accredited institution, or it was. It's since closed. At a certain point, I guess they had reached their quota for clowns, I suppose. But yes, it was a good experience, and one that opened up many doors, many opportunities. When you're surrounded by other physical comedians, you find that there's so many ways to express yourself comedically that you start thinking outside the bubble, if I may say.
Yeah.
And that's where I found my niche in the circus, and it wasn't long before I started the solo show and built it into a much longer stage event, and people were loving it, and it just took off.
You must have heck of a reunions.
I don't get the many, but when they do happen, yes.
Oh, do they have them?
Really? Yes, they have, and they're a pretty big deal. Wow. They can happen, yes.
I was going to ask if there was a master's or a doctorate available, but you say it's closed, so that's too bad.
Funny you should ask, because in the circus I had called myself Dr. F. Arvescence. I'm sure you get that.
I do.
But it was one of those things where the circus to me was a stepping stone. I was in theater. I was an actor. I loved engaging audiences in portraying roles and even directing and stage managing. And then I discovered the physical aspects of performing and the comedy that comes with it. And I so enjoyed that I took all my theater training. I do have a degree in theater arts as well. Mm-hmm. And my love of science, where I almost had a double major, and combined that into a show that uses a lot of knowledge to manipulate soap bubbles at a level beyond people's expectation.
I can see the performer label. I did read a bunch of labels that you have. The only one I don't understand that you could explain is author. What have you written?
Oh, yes. I co-authored a book on bubbleology. I don't believe it's any longer available on the shelves, but for 4 or 5 years, it had been a teacher's award-winning book in instructing children on how to use science and science projects to understand the behavior of soap bubbles so they could create beautiful sculpture and bubbles and big, long bubbles and just creative things they could do with soap bubbles by knowing the science. And it was a very rewarding thing to do and be able to share with people in a book format.
We are speaking with Casey Carl. He is a bubbleologist, bringing his show Bubble Mania to the Heidi Center in Chippewa Falls, and that is Sunday at 2 p.m. I read also, Casey, that you have consulted Cirque du Soleil, and that's impressive for somebody of that level to come to you for help. What was that all about?
Well, it was an honor. They are a very high-level performance style, and I was very honored to be hired by them through a process. They interviewed and auditioned bubble artists from around the world, and so I helped them develop a routine for the Beatles' Love Show in Vegas, in which a grand piano is used to make soap bubbles out of the piano using the characters from the storyline, in which the bubbles are kind of a metaphor for musical creation. And it's a lovely, lovely routine. I was very happy to work with them. They're an amazing organization.
No kidding. How cool to be a bubble authority. Wow.
Yes, a bubble consultant, and sometimes I call myself a bubble wrangler in the way that you might have a wrangler for animals in a movie. I can wrangle soap bubbles for commercials and film and TV and theatrical events. If you want bubbles to perform on cue, you need to hire a guy who understands them, like you would someone who works with animals.
You know, when I was a kid, bubble gum was huge. I don't see nearly as many bubbles anymore. And, you know, most of the time that you've spoken of the substances that you used previous in our conversation, you have used the term soap bubbles. Are there other kinds of substances you can use to make bubbles?
Well, from a scientific point of view, a bubble is anytime there's air or any mix of gases trapped in a liquid or a solid. Our world is surrounded by bubbles, from basketballs to balloons to even holding your own breath. You make yourself a bubble. But when it comes to manipulating them on stage, I guess you could say I can vary the gases within the bubbles and make helium-filled bubbles and bubbles that burst into flame, which is always fun.
Ooh.
And some of the most visually stunning things in my show is when I fill soap bubbles with a fog made from a kind of glycerin water that makes a clear soap bubble become look like a solid white ball.
Mm.
And it's an awesome effect. And I use it for sculptures. I use it for manipulations where the bubbles can bounce on my body and be popped and kind of, break off into a wisp of fog. And it's a beautiful moment. So there's many manipulations you can do with soap bubbles that takes them to a level that most people wouldn't say, oh, that's a soap bubble. So in that way, there are different kinds of bubbles.
All right. Bubble is one of those words that the longer you look at it, the weirder it looks. And it's a weird, it's a strange little word. Any idea where that came from? Who coined the word bubble?
That's a really good question. I know that bubbles have been represented in fine art back into the 16, even 1700s. I've seen some paintings. So they have been a plaything for people for, hundreds of years. Ebullient is another way to say bubbly, so maybe that's part of it.
I'm trying to envision a caveman making the first bubble.
It could be one of the first words they said, because
then,
in my audience
sometimes
there can be a small child and they'll say bubble, and the parents will say, what's his first word? And I was like, well, it might have been mine too. You never know.
I just can't imagine a big burly caveman going bubble. I mean, I suppose it's meant to describe what it is, because
it's an onomatopoeia in its own way, I suppose. If I may say, one of the most intriguing things about my show is that anticipation that eventually the bubbles are going to burst. And it's one of the things I like about them, is you have to be in the moment with soap bubbles like you are with fireworks. And it's actually, I've had people write in interviews or reviews of my show, the reactions to the show are not unlike the reactions you hear to fireworks display. Oohs and ahs and claps and jaw-dropping moments that are there because the bubbles do amazing things. And it's a very focused moment. Although my bubbles last many times longer than the average soap bubble, they do eventually pop. And if they don't, I have funny ways of making sure they do, so I can move on. One of the things I often say is, if the bubbles didn't pop, I'd have to have a much bigger house to keep all my stuff in. They get very large in the show.
Well, long live bubbles, Casey.
Thank you, Al.
I'm all for it.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm glad to hear you say that, because the show is meant for all ages. Some people hear a bubble show and they think it's meant for the youngest children. The show is actually created and geared for older children, parents, and grandparents. So, bring the kids right up through 12, even 14, and parents and grandparents, and they're going to have a great time, smiling, laughing. And I want to emphasize that it's comedy as much as it is artistic work with soap bubbles and manipulations. I make sure everyone's having a really good time.